Good morning, members. It is 9:34 a.m. and I am calling the Rules and Administration Committee meeting to order. Since we are virtual, I'm going to ask Ms. Johnson to take the roll.
Beth, I think you're muted.
All right. We're trying again.
Chair Mesick.
Present.
Vice Chair Rest.
I'm present.
Lee Johnson.
Present.
Senator Champion.
Present.
Senator Eichhorn.
Present.
Senator Frentz.
Here.
Senator Loomer. Senator Marty.
Present.
Senator Miller.
Here.
Senator Murphy.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Ms. Johnson sent out an email this morning, so you should have the attachments. Documents were also posted online, so if you didn't get any document, please let us know and we'll resend them. The first item on the agenda is the compensation resolution, CR006-2. So before I have Secretary Bodden walk through the components of this resolution, I want to point out that this does not touch Senate per diem rates. We are not changing those at all at this point. I know there has been discussion on the outside compensation committee that reviews our salary and sets our salary on per diem, and possibly they would like us to get rid of per diem. I think that's a discussion that we'll be having at some point in the future, but right now we're not touching the per diem rates. So Mr. Bodden, can you give us an overview?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, the committee resolution here is the CR006-2 resolution, which provides for salary increases for Senate employees. Walking you through it briefly, beginning on page one, paragraph A1 provides a $1,500 increase to the compensation of each Senate employee, followed by a 9.25% increase that would be effective July 1st. The 9.25 is compounded on the 1,500. The committee legislative assistance stipends are also increased by 9.25%. The resolution also includes instructions to increase the range minimum and maximum levels accordingly. And then paragraph 3 provides for a merit increase. This is being done in a fashion very similar to what was done in 2021 and 2022, and will be depend on a plan put together by the Director of Human Resources. This paragraph provides a total amount of 3.5% of Senate salaries for the merit pool. And again, the plan will determine how that can be distributed. The plan is not part of the materials for this hearing, but will be shared and distributed in draft form before it's finalized. Next, I do want to point out at the bottom of page one, this has been an issue from time to time in the past. Paragraph 4 specifies that an employee who is at the range maximum after the administration of the 1500 and the 9.25%, if they receive a merit increase that would be over the range maximum, is entitled to receive the merit payment as a one-time payment in equal installments paid through the following fiscal year. Moving to page 2 of the dash 2 resolution, there's an instruction at the top of page 2 that permits the Secretary of the Senate and the Controller to make adjustments to the salary ranges to preserve basically the width and spacing of those salary ranges. What I do want to comment about that briefly and say the intention here is to work together with the House to ensure that really ranges, particularly those I think levels about 2 through 7 are kept very similar, if not identical, and that the House and the Senate essentially won't be in competition with each other based on salary for new employees. On page 2, this resolution also provides salary increases that will take effect in July 1st of next year. There's a 3% general increase and 3.5% merit pool provided, again, under the terms I've described to you. Then there are several additional items included in this resolution. Paragraph C, just to call that out, you'll see that on lines 2.23 to 2.29, specifies the terms for the Director of Human Resources to develop the appraisal and merit-based compensation plan for Senate employees. Again, that's going to look very similar to what was done in 21 and 22. Paragraph D provides a monthly stipend for Senate staff of $50 for technology and communication needs. This takes effect from July 1st, 2023 through December 31st of this year. And lastly, most of the language is shown on page 3 of the resolution. Each Senate employee with additional compensatory or vacation time may elect to be paid the value of up to 40 hours of that time. This is new, and it's in addition to the resolution that will follow, which is the more customary deferred comp resolution. I just want to highlight that this is done separately. The two are not mutually exclusive, and there's a window of time for employees to make the determination on when they want to receive compensation for the compensatory time or the vacation leave that runs from July 1st through December 15th. Madam Chair, that is the CR06-2 resolution in brief.
And I'll add in, members, we've had discussions in the past about possibly doing a communications stipend. We did it for the time frame from July 1st to December 31st because we're going to be getting at some point here soon a new voice over internet protocol system, if I have that right. And so at that point, we'll reevaluate it next year. The plan is, and the hope is, that they will be using less of their own cell phones at that point, but we can readjust once we know more about that system. And then just to give you an update, we raised the cap for compensation deferred. So not your deferred comp retirement plan, but for the comp time during session to 300 hours. I want to let you know we had about 56 employees. We had over 50 employees. I think it was 56 or 57 that had over that 300 hours. So just to let you know, we had 11 of them, I think, that were over probably 400 hours. So I want to just share my appreciation for all the hard work that staff done this year. I know it was a very busy session, so appreciate that. And I think especially for those people that hit that 300 or close to 300, I think the paragraph E, where they can, you know, cash out some of that comp time to use for deferred comp or for just to cash it out, I think is extremely helpful. So with that, members, any questions regarding this resolution? Okay, not seeing any questions. Senator Champion? Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to thank you and Minority Leader Johnson and everyone who put together this package. I think every member of the Senate recognizes how we've got some wonderful employees, very talented employees, and we've been losing a lot because of inability and troubling to attract new ones because of inadequate compensation and so on. And I think this is a fair and reasonable plan, and I want to thank you and those involved in making it happen.
Thank you. Staff spent a lot of time in looking at. We did several different runs. I want to thank Ms. Myers, Ms. Miner, and Mr. Bonner for also their help. As we said in an email that went out to all staff, we believe it's important to retain and recruit staff. They work really hard, as I pointed out, on their number of comp time hours that they worked. In addition, we wanted to make these adjustments looking at previous raises we had and previous inflation. You know, we can't predict future inflation, but just looking at what future inflation is. And then I did look at what several other local governments and some of the law firms were paying their starting staff and starting attorneys, just to kind of make sure that we're in the range. And in certain areas, we are not in the range. And so, especially for our LAs, they are making significantly below what other similar jobs in the market have. So I think this will help keep us competitive going forward. So if I don't see any other questions or comments, Senator Champion, will you move the adoption of CR006-2. Is Senator Champion there?
I am here.
Okay, Senator Champion moves the adoption of CR006-2. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Father.
Aye.
Exana.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Okay, thank you, members, and the resolution passes. The next item on the agenda is the Deferred Compensation Resolution, CR007-1. This resolution matches one passed by the Rules Committee last year and allows for the Senate to match employees' contributions to the Deferred Comp Plan up to $1,150, or allows an employee to convert vacation or comp time hours. They can cash it out. So Mr. Bodden touched briefly on that. Mr. Bodden, do you have anything else to add to that?
Madam Chair, you've described it thoroughly. I don't have anything to add to that.
Okay. Any questions, members? Senator Johnson.
Just one quick question, too. Now, was this based on a previous program where they were able to do some of that vacation time in it to a deferred compensation? Or I think I remember somebody saying that earlier. What is the change? If that is the case, what is the change then, Madam Chair? This just augments that.
Mr. Bonner.
Madam Chair and Senator Johnson, this is the deferred comp resolution in the form that it has been passed in recent years by the Rules Committee. It requires reauthorization each year. So the dollar amounts are the same, and the comp and vacation amounts that could be converted are the same.
Sure.
Does that answer your question, Senator Johnson?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. And I want to correct, it's not a dash one. And so the document that you should have is just CR007. So there's no dash one. So I just want to clarify that. All right. Any questions, members? If not, Senator Marty, will you move resolution, the adoption of resolution CR007.
So moved.
Okay, Senator Marty moves the adoption of CR007. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion passes. Next up is the staff roster. So this was emailed to you before the hearing. Mr. Bodden will review this. Mr. Bodden.
Madam Chair and members, before you have a Senate roster dated June 13th, 2023. I want to just point out some of the factors that have to be taken into account when you're looking through the document. It is a snapshot in time, first and foremost. So that's, you know, it's a picture of what salaries are in the Senate today. So some things are not shown on here. For example, if an employee is due for a promotion shortly, that wouldn't be reflected on the roster yet. And in addition, if you're thinking about comparisons to the most recent Senate roster that was approved by the Rules Committee, there are a number of additional factors that wouldn't be shown, that might be a little more difficult to detect at first glance, such as promotions. So all of those things need to be taken into account. I do briefly want to mention that some titles on here may differ from working titles used by staff. We are a little limited by the system that we use, the semaphore system, and it basically rely on the coding, and also want to be consistent with the way that employees are shown and the way their positions are shown in the Senate ranges. So titles here are going to closely correspond to the Senate ranges document. The other thing that is basic, but I want to take pains to point out, is that the raises that were contained in the salary increases contained in the compensation resolution are not reflected here. And that's, obviously there'd be some difficulty in anticipating the full effect of merit increases, for example. So this is, again, a picture of what salaries look like today. And then a detail related to the committee legislative assistant stipends. Those are included in the salaries that are shown on this roster. The committee legislative assistants are not titled as such on the roster, again, for the reasons I mentioned earlier. But I do want to be clear that for those individuals, that stipend is included in the numbers shown on this roster. That's what I have to say to you about the roster. I don't know if there are questions or anything else I could assist with.
Members, any questions? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Bodden, I don't know if it's you or maybe it's Nicole Miner with HR, but you know, we went through a status change between the two caucuses earlier this year. And so just looking at some of the salaries and whatnot, just wondering, as far as the adjustments that are reflected here on the roster sheet, could you explain to me how those adjustments were calculated, both going into the minority for these positions and also going into the majority?
So, Madam Chair and Senator Johnson, I can give you a brief response. One other thing I do want to say here, and not that your question is touching on this, but I want to be very careful with the roster, not to move into discussion of individual salaries. And again, I'm not suggesting you're taking us there, Senator Johnson, but it is a caveat I should have included earlier in discussion of the roster. So the Senate now uses a policy when employees are promoted, and that's beyond, I'm not considering promotions that are on a track, such as Council 1, 2, 3, anything like that. It's when you're promoted from one position to another, the employee resume and experience is evaluated as if the employee were being hired in that position as a new employee. So credit is given for previous service. Obviously, some employees who have considerable service with the Senate would receive a fairly high rating that way because that experience is directly relevant to the role that they're hired for. So that's going to account for differences in starting salaries. I want to be careful. There were two parts to your question, and you asked about staff who are moving from majority staff to minority staff as well. There is the Management Advisory Committee and leadership used a new policy, and Ms. Miner can comment here as well, but there is a policy of limiting any reduction in salary, I think, beyond the effect of reduction by two ranges. So even if an employee moved to a range that were, say, three ranges lower than their present range, I think the effect of that change would be limited to the reduction in range of moving two ranges, which would be about 10%. But I'm quickly getting out of my element here. And Madam Chair, if you can recognize Ms. Miner, she might have something to add to that as well. Senator Dzik. Yeah, thank you.
Ms. Miner, do you want to?
Madam Chair, can you hear me, Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If Ms. Miner could kind of follow up on what Mr. Barton had to say, that'd be great.
Thank you. Ms. Miner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to echo what Secretary Bodden said. In the fall of 2022, the MAC had decided to treat all internal promotions, again, not on the promotional track, as if we were hiring as external candidates, giving them full credit for relevant experience. And again, weighing more on the Senate experience that's relevant to the position that they were going to. So those were applied in the fall and then going into December. And to answer part two of your question, we mirrored what happened a few years ago as far as when the majority-minority flipped. And I worked closely with the chiefs of staff and those salaries were, again, like Secretary Bodden said, where we took into account by ranges, decreasing no more than 10%, about 5% per range. So again, I don't have more to add. Did you have more questions, Senator Johnson?
Senator Johnson?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And so, yeah, I'd just like to follow up a little bit on that too. So we talked a little bit about the promotion side of things. Now the titles stay relatively the same. So a lateral change, and I don't want to get into names, but you can think of just in general titles, whether it's, you know, legislative director, chief of staff, whatever. They're the same titles in both caucuses, right, going forward. So what is a promotion? And when do you have to reevaluate based on experience and those different factors?
Ms. Miner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Promotions were given once the majority and the minority flipped. And I think, again, not getting into naming names, you may be referring to moving to the executive director. So those would be considered a promotion. My direction, again, was when the majority, or when DFL became the majority, that was indeed a opportunity for employees to be taken a look at and moving into positions that were changing. The work was changing. Their ranges for most of them were changing. Stipends were going to be applied. So we would then take into consideration their experience. Just to give you a little bit more information on that, the legislative assistants were not recalculated, just the stipends were applied.
Senator Johnson, follow up?
So, Madam Chair, yes. So if the title stayed the same for the let's say upper management of a caucus, why wouldn't the LAs be considered a promotion then in this case? What's the distinction there?
So the distinction is they now receive the stipend because they would be doing the committee work. So that, and then the stipend was removed from the minority, what is now the minority. So the change in duties changed with the committee work, and that's the stipend that was given to them.
Okay.
Follow up, Mr. Johnson. Senator Johnson.
Yeah, Madam Chair. And so I'm still a little unclear because there has been some very significant increases within salary ranges and pay for individuals who have similar titles or the exact same title as when they were, whether, you know, in this case, because they're going to majority, from minority to the majority, there's significant increases on that, on what has been called promotions. However, the title has stayed the same for these individuals. Now their duties, of course, have changed clearly. So what defines a promotion for an individual? Because everybody from the LAs up to, you know, chief of staff have all got changed duties, same as in the minority, we've all changed duties. So what is a promotion within the HR department that you're basing this off of? Because from my perspective, a lot of these positions are relatively, you know, the duties have changed, but similar type of authority within them. So why is that considered a promotion?
Ms. Miner?
Senator Johnson, thank you, Madam Chair. My understanding when I was working with the supervisors in the majority is that their duties were changing. Some of the LAs, so maybe that you're referring to, were now going to be promoted to the CAs, which do fall differently on the ranges. So that might be what you're taking a look at and seeing. And there again, because they were promoted to the CAs, then they were taken a look at as far as their relevant previous experience as LAs in the Senate, as if they were being hired as a new hire.
Senator Johnson?
Yeah, one more follow-up to it. I'm sorry to belabor this, but it just so kind of reading between the lines. And so it sounds like perhaps there's not a policy on this. It's more as you follow the direction of, you know, the majority party on how to treat these sorts of changes within the pay structure once there's been a change, is in status of the caucus. Is that a good way of phrasing it?
Well, I would say I treated them all the same if they were actually in moving into a higher range of a higher classification and took into account their relevant experience, again, as if I was hiring someone externally with relevant applicable experience to the role that they're now going to be in.
And I think going back to, so the last time we had a majority to minority flip, I know the DFL caucus went from majority to minority, and I know several staff members at that time in the DFL had about a 10% across the board cut, and some of that was going from a CA now to an LA or a CLA to an LA, and people lost their job. And I think similar, I don't know if they had a 10% cut, but some of the salaries, again, at this time when the GOP went from a majority to minority, again, it was just some of those cuts from the CA to the LA or CLA to an LA. There were, you know, just a 10% reduction. And then in other cases, there might be the job title, while it might be similar, but that some of the titles change and some of those titles are in different ranges. So, and then Senator, Mr. Bodden, you have your hand up. So do you have anything to add to this?
So Madam Chair and Senator Johnson, just thinking about some of the questions you've raised, I want to be clear in terms of how, you know, the large majority of staff who are affected by the change in majority were treated, whether, you know, and you had used some of these terms, where there's a change in range or title, pretty clearly there's a policy in place now that is being used, you know, by the Senate in administering those. I think what this comes down to is how individuals, you know, at the upper levels of leadership are treated and whether a change in those duties or what they're required to do should be associated with a change in salary. And clearly, you know, as your question suggests, I understand you have some differences with that.
Senator Johnson.
Okay, and I'm sorry to belabor it. I know that there was some, you know, looking through the spreadsheets and doing some comparison within that, there were some very, very significant increases, and so based on the same title. And so that's where I'm just questioning, you know, what justifies those increases. And I don't want to get into positions and titles and who it was, but I'm very concerned about what sort of precedent we're setting here based on those changes. And if there really wasn't truly a promotion, then what's the justification for that increase? And so that's what I wanted to get to here today is why that's happening.
Ms. Miner?
No.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Johnson, I am more than happy to meet with you if you want to take this offline and talk about how I moved some of these salaries, some of the other things that could have happened. And again, because we're not, you know, saying any staff in particular, if they served previously in an LA position or an LA2, or I take all of that into consideration, and they could have moved to an LA2 or an LA3 because they had previously served in that position prior, or even 5 years ago. We take all of that into consideration for new hires as well and apply that towards their 2 years in that promotional class. But I'm more than happy to meet with you if you want to discuss further details.
Sure. And Madam Chair, I think I'll take up Ms. Miner's invitation on that, discuss that further. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Members, any other questions? Okay, seeing no other questions, Senator Murphy, will you move the staff roster dated June 13th, 2023?
That is my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Murphy moves the staff roster dated June 13th, 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And the staff roster is adopted. Next, we're going to move to the Senate budget. This is another document that we normally see My understanding is this is budget and not necessarily actual numbers. Mr. Bodden, can you walk us through the Senate budget spreadsheet?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the document you have before you shows the Senate budget for the forthcoming fiscal biennium and provides a comparison to the previous biennium as well. And it's a one-page document. In the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a line labeled allocated funds base that shows you what the Senate appropriation was in the state government bill this year for 24-25, and then the combined biennial total. And you can see, obviously, we've aimed at spending that appropriation, and this shows you the allocation of those amounts. The salary figures are in the top half of the document. There's a line for permanent staff salaries that reflects the increases just approved by the Rules Committee. There's also a line for temporary salaries, and I will add, we've now added session interns to that as well. They are eligible for a $75 a week stipend, so that's been picked up in the budget in addition. The payroll for members reflects the increases by the Legislative Salary Commission. The next lines, insurance, MSRS, FICA, deferred comp, unemployment and workers' comp, many of those are very dependent, obviously, on changes in salary and have been adjusted accordingly. The insurance line reflects the latest increases to the state employee group insurance plan. Beneath that, you'll see a variety of different categories. Those are tracked in the quarterly reports. I won't comment at length on many of these. They're largely self-explanatory. I will say in some circumstances, costs for contracts change due to inflation, and there are a couple of larger contracts, such as the one for IndiGov. The Senate has expanded its use of IndiGov. So these lines, if there are questions, can certainly go into those. They reflect some of those increases in an attempt to anticipate what the Senate will need going forward. The bottom two lines you'll see relate to the Minnesota Senate Building debt service and maintenance costs. Those are set by schedules that were established quite a while ago. You'll see that maintenance costs increase slightly over time as we go forward. That's a description of how the Senate budget is put together. And again, happy to take any questions about any specifics that members might have.
Members, any questions? All right, seeing no questions. Senator Prince, will you move the Senate budget spreadsheet?
So moved.
Senator Prince moves the Senate budget spreadsheet. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, and that spreadsheet is adopted. Now the last item on our agenda is appointing a senator to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. According to statute, it's 144E.01. This is a Rules Committee appointment, technically not a subcommittee on committees. So Senator Seeberger has requested to be on this and is nominated to serve on this board. Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Ross, will you move adoption of this appointment?
I move adoption of this appointment.
Thank you. Senator Ross moves adoption of the appointment of Judy Seeberger to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And Senator Seeberger is appointed to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. This concludes our business for the day. So thank you, members. Enjoy the rest
Chair,
of the day.
Oh,
yes, Senator Limmer.
Just a quick question. The Legislative Commission on Data Practices.
Yes.
Members were appointed. I'm one of those members, but I have not heard of any scheduled meetings yet. Who would I contact to perhaps remind them that that's a duty over the interim?
I think we have a few more appointments to do, and so then we will be coordinating that to make sure that the commission gets set up, because I know there is some interest in some work and doing some work. So we will be doing that soon. Secretary Bodden.
This is not to answer Senator Limmer's question, but I did think of one additional detail I want to convey at the appropriate time. I don't know if you'd completed answering Senator Limmer's question.
Yep. Senator Limmer, does that answer your question?
Yeah, we're basically on hold until appointments are made.
Yeah, right? I think we have two of them that should be coming up shortly.
Okay.
Either later this week or early next week. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Bodder.
So, Madam Chair, one very important detail for staff. I know there may be some questions about this. And basically the question is, when will I see the money? And the answer is the first payroll that occurs after July 1st. So I believe that's July 14th. The merit increases will take longer to implement. Obviously, they're dependent on appraisals. They will be retroactive to July 1st once they are finalized as well. But I do want to let folks know that. I know that's an important detail. And then I do also briefly want to convey appreciation from staff to the Rules Committee for these changes. I've had a lot of very positive feedback, and I know staff truly appreciate the changes.
Thank you. And I believe Ms. Miner or internally, people, senators, and other managers should have got notice on how the, at least some of the appraisals and that they need to be done sometime in August. Ms. Miner, do you remember if it's August 1st or 31st? When are those appraisals due?
Yes, Madam Chair, August 31st they're due.
Okay, so you have plenty of time, but that time sneaks up on you. So I encourage everybody to get started. So thank you, members. Any other questions or comments?
Nope.
Nope. All right. So then that truly concludes our business for the day. So enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.